The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One, MMA Fighting's matchmaking podcast, as we try to figure out what could be next for some of the notable names coming out of UFC Vegas 16 this past Saturday night at the Apex. And the night was capped off by Marvin Vettori picking up a massive win over Jack Hermanson in the main event. First off, I am Mike Heck, and joining me as always in this venture is the co-host, the co-matchmaker, the best friend, and most importantly, the Prince of Positivity himself, Mr. Alex Cayley. How are you, buddy?
Mike Heck, my best friend. I'm feeling great coming off of an 8-fight, 8-hour card. That was some super. You know what's weird though is I don't. I mean, the pacing was obviously bad. Maybe I'm just getting used to it. But it feels like there was a lot of V Foundation stuff, of course. The Jimmy V Foundation, a great cause, and a lot of great stories there. So it's weird. I almost didn't have a problem with the pacing, even though, yes, it sounds crazy that we had an eight fight show that went about what? Less than a little under six hours. About 5.5, right? Which is normal. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting used to it. But I did not think the pacing was egregiously bad.
I agree. I thought it was pretty good.
I don't know why. Yeah.
I just wish they started the card at 7 and just did one card.
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what? We're not in the TV business, so we don't know what they got to do to feed the bulldog. Got to answer advertisers and all that. So you got to do what you got to do. But whoever, if there's some way they can start these earlier, it'd be nice. It'd be real nice.
I agree. It was not to be pessimistic or a negative Nancy, but just throwing that out there. It's all good.
Someone on Twitter called us cynical.
I saw that. I was like, how dare you?
Well, first of all, I don't remember us saying anything cynical. I probably said what we usually say at the beginning of the show is that we need a lot of cards to cover every week. But I think like the rest of the show, that might have been like a 5-minute opening 5 minutes. The rest of the show, I feel like we complimented everyone. We complimented fighters. We complimented referees. We complimented the broadcast team. I shouldn't let these random Twitter comments get to me. But I've never been called cynical before. That was shocking.
Yeah, I saw that one myself. I was like, what show was this person watching? Because even if we come off and say things like that, we're like mostly joking. Like we're not sitting there just cutting promos on how poorly the card was shaped up and stuff like that. In fact, right. I think we're very complimentary of how the card played out.
Yeah, given what they had to work with, I think we're pretty nice. And we're critical. Sure, we're critical. Critical, I've been called critical many times. Overly critical, sure, even. But cynical, no. Critical, I mean, that just shows, I think, that we care about the product a lot. But again, random Twitter user, a finger of shame to you. We do not agree with your assertion, sir.
Yes, it is the holiday season after all. Let's have let's have some freshness, some positivity out there, and
let's
get to business indeed. Let's discuss the man of the hour, the Italian Dream, Mr. Marvin Vettori. Took this fight on a week's notice. He was preparing to fight Jacare Souza this Saturday at UFC 256, so he was getting ready for a fight already, but still took a big risk, big opportunity, shuffled things up. And by doing so, he picked up the biggest win of his career against Jack Hermanson. So 2021 is looking very bright for Marvin Vettori, a.k.a. calls out Paulo Costa. What do you think should be next for Marvin Vettori?
I think his 2020 was pretty bright. He had about as bright a 2020 as you can have with only two fights. Because the Roberson, the little Roberson kind of mini feud, that had some heat behind it. You know, with Roberson... you know, having the issues that bumped him out of the first fight, and they get that hotel altercation. Then Roberson misses weight badly for the rebooking, and Vettori beats him by first round submission. So even there was like a nice little storyline. It's a shame because, of course, he couldn't fight more. Then he gets this big win over Herman. I think his initial call out was spot on. You know, he kind of walked it back at the post fight press conference. In favor of some Israel Adesanya talk, which again we know that's he's always going to talk about, and which is fine. But the initial call out he made on the actual broadcast of Paulo Costa, that's the right one. That's the way to go. Good stylistic matchup. A guy who's in the top three of the rankings right now. I think a lot of people want to see these two face off. Let's not overthink this UFC. I know Costa's making a lot of demands. Of course, he wants the instant rematch. That's just not going to happen. So let's send him that contract for Vettori and see what he says.
I liked the call out. I thought it was a good call out. He did walk it back, and he did like exactly what you suggested he should do on the post fight show. Like, just call it Adesanya at every opportunity. And that's what he did. He must have been watching before he went up to the podium. And he goes, you know what? That Alex Kaley, that cynical AK, he was spot on. I'm just gonna back it off. F Paulo Costa, I want Israel Adesanya. But seeing how this ended last night and just kind of seeing the attention Marvin Vettori has been getting, middleweight has gotten pretty darn interesting, hasn't it? Like, Israel Adesanya is a star in the mate, is almost at the head table for superstardom right now. But the whole division has gotten really interesting heading into 2021. You have Vettori, you have Kevin Holland, who has the chance to go 5-0 this year if he beats Jacare this Saturday. Vittori's going to end the year top five, top seven or eight guy at worst once the ranking comes out. Holland might be able to get into the top 15 on Saturday. I'm very tempted to match those guys up if Holland wins on Saturday because of the heat and the rivalry. And Holland, in every interview, likes to take shots at Marvin Vettori. And I think people would like to see that one. But you know what? I don't think the Costa one's going to happen. So I'm going to go like right in the middle of those two, okay? I'm going to go with the winner of Chris Weidman versus Uriah Hall, especially if Chris Weidman wins. I think that could be the biggest possibility name value wise that I think he can get right now. I just don't think he's going to get the Costa fight right now because I think everybody in this division wants that fight. I just don't know if Vettori gets it right now. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know. So I think if Chris Weidman beats Uriah Hall, I think it's a no-brainer. And if Uriah Hall beats Chris Weidman, I don't mind that matchup either. So, I mean, yeah, I just don't know if he gets the Costa fight. I don't know. I'll go with that one.
I love it, Mike. I love it, actually. I do think that your final inclusion was very strong. That's UFC 258, February 13th. So that my only sticking point would be it is a little bit far in the future. Between now and then, I imagine Vettori will be hunting for a booking. But maybe you're right. Maybe if they kind of promised him the winner of that fight. He has mentioned wanting to fight Chris Weidman before. Like we said, he's the kind of guy, he's planted a lot of seeds for potential feuds. So I think if the Weidman matchup came up, I think he'd still be interested. It's probably not number one on his list anymore, but I do think he recognizes the name value of Weidman, former UFC champion, and would jump at that if Weidman were to beat Uriah Hall again. So it's a little bit too far in the future, which is probably why I didn't go with that. I do like that. But Holland's Jacare, of course, I will say, you know, I've said before, I think Holland's name should be banned from the show because this guy will fight at any time and thus make it essentially impossible for us to pick his matchmaking. If he beats Jacare next week, there's a good chance he'll say, I want to fight Marvin Vettori. I don't want to fight on December 19th. Let's close out the year with one more fight. I want to go 6-0. Where do you go?
Yeah.
Is he going? Holy cow. So Holland should be banned because he will definitely, there's definitely a good chance he wins. Says Marvin Vettori, 7 days from now, let's go. You're not, yeah, you look pretty cut up, but you'll be fine. Those will heal fast. Let's make it happen. So I like to see that matchup happen, but gosh, I'm scared of what Holland will do if it's even a possibility.
He even called out Khamzat Chimaev. He said, I'm going to go alligator hunting on December 12th. I'm going to take Jacare out. And then I want to fight Khamzat Chimaev on December 19th. The guy is an animal. He's banned from the show. I agree. But I have other ideas because as far as Jack Hermanson goes, this is where I'll insert Kevin Holland if he beats Jacare. Rebook that fight. If Holland doesn't win, then maybe you do the loser of Weidman versus Hall. I know Edmund Shahbazyan has been a very popular answer. I'm just not that interested in that fight until Shahbazyan gets back in there and gets another win. I don't know. Do you have any quick thoughts on Hermanson?
It's not about Shahbazyan Holland, sorry, or Shahbazyan Hermanson.
Hermanson.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yes, I've seen that floating around as well. I'll save it for later. The Hermanson stuff for later. There were some reader suggestions which I think are worth shining a light on. So yeah, for myself, I think Shahbazyan is the first name that jumped out as well. But I'll leave this one to the readers this week.
Fair enough. Co-main event, we saw Jamahal Hill get a massive win in his own right against Ovin St. Preux, puts him away in the second round, improves to 8-0. But let's be clear, he should be 9-0, 3-0 in the UFC with two finishes. The devil's lettuce, as you said on the post-fight show. It's just ridiculous.
Sad.
But the man is on the rise, AK. He is on the rise. What do you like next for him?
This one's a little bit tricky because OSP, I think we always say he's sort of in that gatekeeper role. And maybe for me, maybe I'm having a little bit of trouble of letting go of him as a top 10 contender. Maybe Ovin St. Preux is not a top 10 contender anymore. He certainly had some struggles recently. I still view him that way, but big win for Jamahal Hill. And again, that may have proven me wrong. Maybe OSP's best days are behind him. So I think I settled on this isn't the sexiest pick, but the Misha Sirkunov Ryan Spann winner. That fight needs to be rebooked. It has been postponed. We don't know when it's actually going to happen, but I imagine theoretically not too far. It could happen in January, maybe. So I'll go with that. I like that for the winner. My other option, this would be following kind of the Dominic Reyes blueprint a bit. We've talked about some of the comparisons Hill has gotten. Now he has that win over OSP, which is also what Reyes did to kind of start establishing himself as a contender. Following that, maybe he gets Volkan Oezdemir.
That's my pick.
Tough match. Really? Go ahead, elaborate. I wasn't as high on it, so I'd love to hear you elaborate on it.
First off, and I mentioned this in the post-fight show, because there's a lot of love for Jamahal Hill versus Anthony Smith. And if they book that fight, I'm cool with it. And I said I'm going to pick somebody like right around there. Let's throw him in there with Oezdemir and see what he can do. Like, Oezdemir just got knocked out pretty viciously by Jiří Procházka. He wants to bounce back. I think he was supposed to fight Alexander Rakic, but then that Rakic went on to other things. So Volkan needs an opponent. He's ready to fight. He called out Thiago Santos after the loss to Glover Teixeira. The man wants a fight. Let's see what he does against a rising contender looking to make a further name for himself in Jamahal Hill. I say, especially at a division like 205, let's see what Jamahal Hill can do, man. Let's throw him in there and just see what happens.
Oezdemir is such a good test for a lot of these light heavyweights coming up. He's really tough. He's really smart and well-rounded. You have to be on top of your game, I think, to get by a guy like him. Like, if Hill lost to him, there's no shame in that. You know, it's not like, oh, Hill's not a prospect because he lost to Volkan Oezdemir. It just kind of tells us, okay, gives us a little bit of a better gauge of where Hill is as a potential future contender. So there'd be no shame in it. It's definitely, I think, a medium risk, high reward fight for Hill, and a chance for Oezdemir again to kind of reestablish himself and remind people, hey, I'm still potentially a top five guy, especially if I beat a guy like Hill.
Some interesting options. I mean, 205, I feel like this has been a year where it's gotten a little bit of a boost. Jamahal Hill makes it even better, and if he goes on and beats a guy like Volkan Oezdemir, 205 gets a little bit more of a push. But let us move to Gabriel Benitez, an impressive finish of Justin Jaynes. That step in knee right to the chest just led to the beginning of the end. He looked great, got an extra 50 G's for his efforts. I'm ready to give him another fun fight. A step up, but nothing too crazy. And I got the whiff of bonus money, AK. So much bonus money. Benitez versus the Death Star, comma worthy, AK. That is the fight to make.
Oh, it's good. It's good. No, it's there's a lot of names in Benitez's range. He's a real veteran now, right? So he's kind of in that range where, do you want to match him up, like I said, newer guys who you know are going to be exciting matchups? Do you want to match him up with veterans? So I was all over the place on this one. I kind of went in between. I went with a guy who is new to the UFC, but it certainly has a lot of experience, is coming off a loss. Matheus Gamrot.
Ooh.
Gamrot. Yeah, I think Gamrot, you know, he looked okay in his first fight. I mean, he lost, but it was a good fight. I want to see how good he is, though. Again, I think anyone who follows Kira knows he is a good fighter, but you know, there is always that barrier. You make it to the UFC and people start to question you. So Benitez is the kind of veteran UFC guy who certainly competitive, looked great on Saturday night, you know, one of the best performances really he's ever put on. And a huge one for him because it was his first win at 155 pounds, so kind of new life for him. And I think giving him a former KSW champion in Gamrot would be a bit of a reward, and again, also kind of let us know where both guys are and how much they can separate themselves from sort of the middle of the lightweight pack right now.
That is an interesting selection. Interesting. I like it.
There are a lot of options, but I think Gamrot's the one that jumped out to me.
Let's head back to 205, AK, as we saw Roman Dolidze get in, air quotes, split decision. A split decision when Chris Lee strikes again over John Allen. He remains undefeated, goes the distance for the first time in his career. Like we talked about with Jamal Hill, there's a lot of fun options at 205 for a guy like Roman Dolidze. Where does the proverbial dart land for you?
By the way, MMADecisions.com, I think there was 18 to 20, some of that media members pulled. Not one scored it for Allen. So, Chris Lee, well done. I'm going to go with, I think this is pretty obvious. I'm going to go with, actually, there's two I liked. Should I change it now? Should I change it now at the last second? Live show, just change it. No, I'll stick with the Ankalaev. I think Magomed Ankalaev is one a lot of people saw. Some people might want to see Ankalaev get a top 15 guy, so that's probably the one reason why this couldn't happen. But Dolidze has looked really good, and more so, it looked really fun to watch. He talks, you know, he was like in the middle of the fight last night. He was like, "You want me to submit him in round one?" And then just immediately dives down for a heel hook, which is really not something I would recommend to most fighters to say you're going to do something and then just try and do it, especially against a quality opponent, John Allen, who's better than his record looks. But he did it. He likes to throw spinning stuff. He's comfortable on the ground. He's comfortable striking. I feel like we don't talk about him enough. I mean, obviously Hill's performance kind of overshadowed him as far as the unbeaten light heavyweights go. Oh, Hill's not unbeaten, is he? Oh, he is. They both are. Okay. So I'll just go with Ankalaev. This should maybe be my second. I'll go for it. I'll tell you what my second pick was that maybe I should have gone with.
At first, and I said this Saturday night after the card, I thought OSP made a lot of sense. And it still does. But kind of thinking about it further, I still want to give him a guy who's had some moments in the octagon, a guy with a decent name, a guy who headlined a card recently. What about Devin Clark, AK? I think Dolidze versus Devin Clark makes a lot of sense. And if Dolidze wins, then we can really start looking at the top 20, latter end of the top 15. I just, with a guy like Dolidze, because he's exciting and he's really good, and I know this sounds different because Jamal Hill, I'm just ready to throw him to the wolves, but you know, he's got a signature win. Dolidze doesn't have that yet, but he's somebody that I think could be a very interesting player at 205. So I'm more... I would rather not rush Dolidze as much as I would rush Hill, if that makes any sense. Although this is still a good step up.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see Devin Clark. I'm just looking at this now. 11 fights in the UFC, is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Was he competing at two weight classes?
I don't...
He wasn't a middleweight before?
I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong. My memory with this stuff is brutal.
Has he really fought? Man, he was thrown... Because he hasn't been fighting for that long. He really was thrown to the wolves here. Dang. Okay. 7 years into his career. Yeah, he's got a lot of UFC fights under his belt. Well, anyway, good for him. I think that's a reasonable challenge for Dolidze for sure. It wasn't a name that came... I went with... I thought you were loading up for my other option, which was Khalil Roundtree.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of guy who's unpredictable, who's flirting with retirement. So maybe he's hoping that he'd be hoping to get a bigger name than Dalitze. But Dalitze is quickly making a name for himself. And I think actually that'd be a really nice feather in Roundtree's cap if he had a win over Dalitze. Again, knock off an undefeated guy. So I should have said that instead of Ankalaev. I think that'd be a fun one. But it's a little bit hard to match up for Roundtree because, again, I don't know what his intentions are with sort of the last few fights in his career. I know he actually did sign a new contract, kind of walk back some retirement talk. But now that it's out there, I do wonder if he is, you know, one or two losses away from just saying, you know what, I'm done. So hard to match make for him. But so Ankalaev or Roundtree, I think would be my picks.
Yeah, I think they were trying to. I know reports came out that Khalil Roundtree is going to fight Greg Hardy at some point this year, and he went on this like Instagram post where he just kind of poo-pooed all over the MMA media because that report came out.
Yes, we didn't report that.
No, we did not. We would not. We would never do such a thing.
Of course not.
Back to 155. Main card opens up with Jordan Levitt, the Monkey King, in a 22-second octagon debut. First knockout of his career via a vicious slam. Knocks Matt Wyman out cold. And this guy just gets it, AK. He is who he is. He's a very unique individual. Ton of potential. And he's only going to get better. If I was going to buy stock in anybody at 155, I'd buy some Jordan Levitt stock and I'd probably load up on it. But the reason why is there's just absolutely no need to rush him whatsoever. You don't have to really do much. I saw some people suggest Jamie Mullarkey, and I'm not opposed to that. You know what? I mean, I'm kind of struggling with this one because we have this conundrum like with all these fight night cards, especially with fights dropping out and such, that you could just throw him in there with like anybody in the same range and it makes sense.
Yep.
But I kind of like this one now that I think about it. And I know they're managed by the same manager, but I think it's a fun, sensical matchup between two guys who made big impacts in their promotional debuts this year. I know Jordan wants to wait until his wife gives birth to their first child in February before he fights again. And this would line up nicely because the opponent I have in mind is under a weed suspension until early 2021. Let's do Jordan Levitt versus Kevin Krum, AK. I'd be very interested to see how that would play out.
Excellent. Excellent choice. Definitely on my list. Is he, when we say early, like we mean like January, right? Because it was September, like, September, and he got like a 4.5 month suspension. He got a weird one, right? Like reduced.
Yeah.
So I feel like end of December. Yeah, I know what you're saying. But yes, you're right. 2021, he'll be ready. And yeah, we'll probably be willing to wait a couple months for a good matchup. I love it. Definitely on my list. Like I said, so many people in his range. I was like Claudio Pueyas, Joe Selecki. Just a lot. Again, it's so early. It's so early to say again. These are guys. We talk about this all the time. Levitt, he wasn't supposed to be on the main card. This was bumped up to the opener after we had all those unfortunate, you know, withdrawals, or cancellation, I should say. So I just threw another name out there, Guram Kutatlatse. I said Guram Kutatlatse. That's my top pick. Why? I don't know. They're both 1-0 in the UFC. I went with the algorithm, all right? I punched the numbers into my mystery rankings. This is what I came up with. Two guys on winning. Well, I mean, Levitt undefeated. Kutatlatse on a 9-fight win streak, 1-0 in the UFC. Just like it'd be a cool matchup. Let's go for it. I'm thinking Fight Island here. So maybe Jordan Levitt gets a trip.
Yeah. I thought Joe Selecki was a bridge too far.
Oh.
I definitely think Guram Kutatlatse is a bridge too far at this point.
You're so high on him. I'm just trying to.
I'm trying
to impress Mike. I'm like, Mike, this guy's a big deal. I got to aim a bit higher.
I'm buying stock because he deserves the quintessential slow roll. Like he's a guy that's going to grow up in the UFC at this point. Like what's he, 7-0, 8-0? Still super young, still green in a lot of ways, but he's getting better. I definitely don't want to see him anywhere near like the top 30 right now.
Frank Camacho it is.
That works for me. Lastly, before we head to my favorite segment, the wild card round, let's match make for The Last Samurai. Lewis Smolka picked up his 8th straight finish in fights he has won. So not his 8th straight win, but in his last 8 victories, he finished all of those. And he has set himself, AK, and I thought this was a very honest assessment on Saturday night. He's essentially the definition of inconsistency. Got a great finish of Jose Quinones in the second round of the featured prelim. What do you think makes sense for Louis Smolka coming out of Saturday Night.
If you took like the four best highlights of Louis Smolka's career and showed them to people, they would just be like, "Oh, this guy's a friggin' world title contender, right? Like this guy looks amazing. He finishes people. He's great in the ground. He's got good stand up." And if you took the four like worst fights of his career, you'd have people like, "This, why is this guy in the UFC?" He's always been such an intriguing guy. I like Louis Smolka a lot. You know, I mentioned this as a possibility a while ago, and I'm sticking to it. I still think he's the guy to welcome back Sean O'Malley after O'Malley's loss to Chito Vera. I mentioned this before when we match made for O'Malley following that loss, of course, with the sort of the weird injury and then Vera finishing him. And I still think it's a good choice. I think Smolka deserves that fight. I think he's a veteran. I think he's a good matchup. Similar in a lot of ways to Chito Vera, if I'm being honest with you, skill-wise. And I think it's a fight that O'Malley should welcome. I'm sure he'd like to maybe face someone who's with a little bit of a hotter name. But Smolka's a veteran, and you could do a lot worse than that. So I'm going to go O'Malley-Smolka. I'm sticking to it.
Interesting. Smolka's just so scary right now. Like, there's just not a lot of faith in him that he could step on the scale and make it.
Mm.
Like, he looked fine. He got 134.5. He seemed like a different guy, but it's like a tale of two people, like you said, because he has the ability to be a top 15 guy. His worst enemy is himself. He's just got to keep his head on straight and just kind of like give himself to the sport because he's so talented. He's so skillful. And he's just been his own worst enemy in this fight game. I do want to see where he's at. And I'm looking in a similar place in the rankings, in my opinion. And I'm willing to test that against a prospect in this division who is looking to get back on track, much like Sean O'Malley. 135 is just so loaded, and we've talked about this a lot. You can sort of mix and match anybody here. But I want to see how he fares, not against a prospect, but the prospect. Smolka versus Nathaniel Wood in 2021, AK. I think it's similar to O'Malley. O'Malley is... I mean, that's a money fight right now. I just don't know if you can have enough faith in Smolka at this point to put him in that situation, make sure he makes weight, and then make sure he's at like his highest level of preparation. You know what I mean? It's just kind of, I don't know. If they booked Smolka O'Malley, I'm watching. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, talk about another guy who, you're right, they call him the talent because we know how good Nathaniel Wood is. He's the kind of guy I could see him having a Smolka-esque career. Not because I'm aware of, I don't know of any focus issues necessarily, but I think we've already seen some consistency issues in the cage. But obviously he's a great fighter. So yeah, that would be interesting. Almost like, here's your future. Here's your future, Nathaniel Wood, Louis Smolka, which for better or for worse, again, is what could happen if you don't, you know, if you don't find a way to kind of start really getting it together and really stringing these wins together. So yeah, I like that too. No, I got no issue with that. Louis Smolka, by the way, he's only 29 years old.
It's crazy, right?
He doesn't turn 30 for a while, not till next summer. So he's already had so much experience. He's been through a lot in his 29 years, both in the cage and personally. So, you're right. Really difficult guy to gauge. I like the Wood matchup. Yeah, no, I'm definitely into that.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
And now we head to the wild card round, AK, where we will each choose a fighter that we have not match made for yet, and we will do so right now. And only 8 fights. We've already talked about, what, 6 of them already? So the pickings are kind of slim here. Who is your wild card selection from UFC Vegas 16?
You know, I could not leave out Ilia Topuria. I was thinking of finding a fight for one of the fighters who didn't win on Saturday, because you know that's not something we always do. It's good use of the wild card spot. I was trying to figure out what to do with Matt Wyman, though I realized Matt Wyman probably just needs to have a talk with his family and friends and kind of figure out what's next in his life. So we don't know. I don't even know if he'll fight again. Jake Collier, I'll say. I would like to see him drop all the way down to a welterweight and become the first fighter to win fights in 4 weight classes, because he did heavyweight. He's done heavyweight, light heavyweight, middleweight. You know, I think he could cut 70 or 80 pounds and go for that record, Jake Collier. So I think let's take a serious look at that. He's an agile heavyweight. I really think that welterweight's his future. I'll go to Puria, and I'll say I struggled with this one a little bit because the quality of his wins is so high so far. Zalal and now Damon Jackson, that it's kind of weird. It puts him in a weird place. I have him in top 5, so the upper half of my rankings, which some people might think is low, but when you consider that there's about 90 featherweights, to be in the top half after just 2 fights is really, really, really impressive. So I am high on him as a prospect, absolutely. So I settled on Ricardo Ramos. I think that's a good matchup style-wise. I think Ricardo's a talented guy who's coming off a loss. And then the other option, since he is coming off a loss, is maybe Topuria gets instead the Laron Murphy Douglas Silva de Andrade winner, which is happening on January 20th. Murphy, of course, beat Ramos. So if he – maybe either way. Maybe even if Murphy loses, you give him Topuria. But, I'm not pushing Topuria up that quickly. I know you, of course, have had a choice for him, which I think a lot of people were into, but I'm pumping those brakes. I'm pumping those brakes. I'm always pumping those brakes.
I could just cheat and go with that pick that you mentioned and go to Poirier versus Andre Feely.
Right.
And I stand with both feet dug in on that choice. I think it's absolutely perfect. I think that's the way to go. I don't think there's any other option that makes sense unless you throw him right into the top 15 because he's that good. But I got to tell you, AK, I am all in on Jay Collier opening up cards every single time he fights. And I hope he does it again soon, because that fight with John Volante was so fun. I loved it. I could watch a fight like that open up every single one of these cards until the end of time. So let's do it again. Let's match him up against a guy who had a bit of a hot start to his UFC run. He slipped in his last couple of fights, but let's give him another shot in there and see what happens. How about a card headlined by whoever, but it's opened up by Jake Collier versus Yorgan De Castro, Alex K. Lee?
Oh, that's a fun one.
It is fun. I mean,
okay.
Why not? I mean, let's just. That's a perfect way to jerk the old curtain, so to speak. That's how you do it.
Yeah, no, I like it. Yeah, no, we want, look, as Sean Sheehan so eloquently put it on Twitter, this is that opener was just man meat slapping, you know, and you love it. It was a really honestly for heavyweights. I mean, you could tell it's two guys who are not natural heavyweights, who are just not cutting weight and thus are not have no stress over weight cut, are fat and happy going in there. And have a lot of energy because it was a high-paced fight till the very end. I mean, till the third round, those guys were throwing just in the pocket, just throwing, and it was really fun to see. So more fun match for Jake Collier. Yes, Jorgen De Castro, sign me up. That sounds good. By the way, and I guess this might be a good segue, unless you have more to say about that matchup, Mike.
No, I'm good.
Your Topuria Feely devotion could make for an epic Check the Tapes if that fight doesn't. No other reasonable matchup. That sounds crazy to me. In feather, there's so many options in featherweight, but you are on the record as saying that you're standing your ground and saying that is the fight that must happen. So if that fight happens, I don't need to make a note. I will remember this. That will be an epic Check the Tapes. But to move on to this week's Check the Tapes, Mike. Not too much to talk about. I don't know how you felt about this one. Beneil Dariush, Diego Fajeda. I know it was discussed. I was big on it. I think I'm pretty sure you were as well.
I think I was into it. I don't know if that was my first choice, but I was into it.
Yeah. It was a very logical matchup. That's February 6th. So there's one we got right. I'm going to use the rest of this Check the Tapes time, Mike, to pick a few matchups that we did not see coming. And I don't see how we could have. One of the fights booked this week, Anthony Pettis versus Alex Morano, December 19th. Mike, where did this come from? Where did this matchup come from?
This was Anthony Pettis just saying, you know what? I'm ready to fight. And maybe he looked into the future. Maybe he had a little crystal ball and he said, you know what? After this December 5th card, Dana White's going to get up on the podium. He's going to say, we're going to cut 60 fighters from the roster. I got to get my former champion Tukas into the octagon and fight somebody. And Alex Morano was ready to be his Huckleberry.
I had not even thought about that because Anthony Pettis is a big ticket item for the UFC. Let's put it that way. He's definitely making well over six figures, probably. Yeah, I would imagine per fights, and well deserved. So, yeah, I didn't even think about that. This could be a matchup of necessity. But we've matched up Anthony Pettis, I think, several times on the show, either for himself coming off a win or other fighters who would make sense for him. Alex Morano never came up.
Love the fight, though. I really like the matchup.
I do. You know, I do like it now. I do like it now that we've talked about it more. But, yeah, I did not see that one coming. And a couple more veteran versus lower-ranked Sabina Mazo, Alexis Davis. Did not see that one coming.
Especially with Mazo doing so well at 125. She's bumping up to 35 for this one. I mean, I like the matchup. It was just kind of surprising.
That's a 35?
That's a 35. First fight at 35 for Mazo.
I don't like this for her at all. It is a name. It is a name. It's a former UFC title contender. I don't know how to feel about this one, but I also think it's a very tough matchup. I know Alexis Davis isn't always viewed as like the I don't know, but as just another also ran, I guess, because she lost to Rousey. She's super tough. I don't know if I like this one for Mazo. And another strange one, not as strange, but one we definitely didn't see coming. Joseph Benavidez, Askarov.
That is great matchmaking right there.
Yes. I'll give them credit. I almost wish we'd predicted it, but I think we thought we had a lot of choices for Askarov. I don't know if it was ever up.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Manel Cape was kind of the obvious one. And I believe that was like the initial plan for UFC 255 was to book those two guys. For some reason, it didn't happen. Manel Cape went to December 19th. Now he's the backup for December 12th. And Askarov needs something. I thought maybe Brandon Royval would be an option. That apparently is not the case. I know Royval had the shoulder injury, so. Or you did Royval Benavidez made a lot of sense to me. But, I mean, it's just kind of a process of elimination here. If Joe B wants to stick around and is still confident he could be a world champion, you got to beat an Askarov. That's a tough matchup. I like the booking. I was a little surprised by it. I thought maybe Benavidez would get a little bit of a step back. But, again, we're in a very interesting time right now. We had a chaotic 2020. The UFC roster is just filled with guys and gals. There's like 600 fighters on the roster. We got to trim some of that fat, unfortunately. So these are the kinds of matchups that some of these vets are going to have to go through if they want to, I hate to say it, remain employed, remain with the name on a locker.
Man, there are no steps back for Benavidez. I mean, you're right. He essentially said, give me the toughest guy that is free.
That's it.
Someone who, again, if I beat them, sure, it'll look good, but who has just so much to gain from taking my name, you know, from adding my name to their resume. But that's why we love Jopie. You know, I think, again, I'll always say, I think one of the most unappreciated fighters of the last like 10 years, just a perennial contender. All the title shots he's got, he's deserved. Frankly, I think there probably could have been maybe one or two more in there. So I'm really looking. Yeah, it is a great piece of matchmaking. So people, check your tapes, by the way. So this is my check. If you have a tweet or something that says you predicted something like Anthony Pettis versus Alex Morano, let us know, you know, please, because I will acknowledge you on this show. I did not see that one coming. But yeah, I'm not saying any of those matches are really bad. I don't love the Mazo Alexis Davis one. But yeah, did not see that coming.
How dare you, AK? You forgot to check one other tape. Oh, one of the matchups. One of these exact matchups.
Stop it. That you called?
No, just going on the road that we've been going on.
Okay. What am I forgetting?
Casey Kenney versus Dominic Cruz.
All right. I got to stop. So, a little inside baseball. I just scroll through our morning reports because our own Jed Meshew, does a great job of compiling the fights that are announced this week. So I'm lazy. And I keep reading, there is no morning report on Saturday. And thus, yes, the Cruz. A big oversight on my part. Yes, Cruz, Casey Kenney. Yeah, we did not predict that one, Mike.
Nobody did.
Dang.
But I like it a lot.
We were two matchups that we were just harping the whole time. Cruz Sanhagen, of course, and Cruz Edgar. We all thought Cruz Edgar is fait accompli. This fight is going to happen. It's just a matter of getting the date right. You know, whichever date works best for both guys. Instead, taking on a blue chipper. I still think he knows something we don't. I think he. I mean, obviously, every fighter thinks they can win every fight, but I think he sees something in the Casey matchup that he thinks this will be not an easy win, but definitely a winnable fight for him. I don't know, but I mean, how can you bet against Kenny? Young, explosive, up and coming. He's got to be the favorite in this match. We'll see. We'll see when the line comes out. There might be one already, but I'm very interested to see who people see as the favorite in this one. Anyway, betting wise, anyway.
I love how John Anna calls him Mr. October. I think that is a great nickname.
It's good. It is a good nickname.
So the tapes have been checked. Some very interesting matchups. I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more of these types of matchups over the next several months being booked.
Yes.
But let's see what the peeps are thinking in terms of booking fights coming out of UFC Vegas 16, AK.
Okay, we got a lot to cover here. So I'll fire off some of these quickly. Ilia Topuria. This was asking on our site. Who was next? Asking on through our MMA Fighting Twitter account. Teddy Duchamp at MMA Jared on Twitter. He likes Ludovic Klein. That's a name I thought about, but I didn't go with. I'm sure you thought about it too, right? But
yeah, but I booked Klein against who the hell did I book him against last week?
Yeah, we've definitely discussed Klein on multiple occasions.
Trying to remember who it was.
That's right. Yeah, you mentioned him as recently as last week. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, so probably a reason for us not to just toss that out there. I think I like that after. I think that I like that one for Topuria after he won his first fight. Now I almost feel like he should move beyond that, but it's certainly on paper a good matchup. And at Jack Attack TO, by the way, people, I'll try to read your ats if they're legible. Otherwise, I'm just going to say the names. Jack Morris Levy, Ryan Hall, always a good choice for anyone, but I like Ilia Topuria and I don't want to see him die yet. So I don't know. And he also suggested Giga, a little Georgia on Georgia action. No, I don't think I don't think any of these. Look, there's a lot of talent coming out of Georgia. At some point, these guys are going to have to get matched up. I don't think these two need to get matched up just yet.
No, that's two very interesting prospects who have very bright futures coming from the same country. I'm not ready to see that. And by the way, I suggested Bill Algeo against Ludovic Klein.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. That's right. Here's a question for you, though, Mike, coming off that tweet. Who do you rank higher right now, Giga or Ilia?
I mean, I would have to put Chikadze up a little higher. I would say Topuria has the higher ceiling, mm-hmm. at least in my opinion. Because I think both guys are... I think Chikadze's next fight should be with somebody in the top 15. I'm not ready to put Topuria in there just yet. But should they do that, I think he would do very well against a lot of those guys. Right now, I put Chikadze higher than Topuria. But if I'm banking on the future of one of these guys, it's tough to choose. But Topuria is my guy at this point.
I do think Taporia's two wins are against higher competition than Chikadze has beaten.
Perhaps.
Yeah. 5-0 is hard to argue against. 5-0 in the UFC is hard to argue against. I don't know. I'm telling you, my rankings, which do utilize the, of course, always sketchy MMA math, I do have Depoirier a bit higher because he kind of gets a bonus because Jackson beat Bektic, so he almost gets like the nod over Bektic just based on now he's beaten Jackson, he's kind of taken that steam. So it's weird. I kind of it's very difficult for me where to rank Depoirier, and you'll see some of the reader suggestions later that the ideas for him are all over the place. Someone which I don't agree with, but again, based on how he's performed and where you might put him in the rankings, I don't know. I don't know how to argue against it. So yeah, Depoirier, a lot of Depoirier talk for sure. Jamal Hill. We got once just from Casual Eve, or Eve the Hardcore Casual. Also likes Ankalaev, so I think there's... Wait, did we say Ankalaev for Hill? We did, right? Oh, no, I said it for Delice.
Yes, you said it for
Yeah, I don't know. I think Ankalaev has earned a little bit of a higher ranking fighter, though again, Jamal Hill, I guess, now has taken Ovin St. Preux's spot, so maybe he jumped over Ankalaev? That's an interesting one. Could you see... I don't know if you want it, but could you see that happening? Could you see that being booked?
Not now. Because I think these, if we're looking at guys in the latter half of the top 15 or just outside of it that you're looking to like sort of invest in is the future of a division that really needs help, I think both of those guys are probably at the top of the UFC's list right now. So mashing them up right now eliminates one of them from that conversation. So I think it's a little soon for that. I'd like to see the fight and see how it played out, but maybe give another win or two for each guy, probably two wins preferably. And then you match those guys up, you know, as they're sniffing the top five or maybe even a win away from fighting for the belt.
Yeah. Eve the Hardcore Casual also suggested Shabazzian for Hermanson. Again, like I said, that seems to be going around. Not a terrible choice, but yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily the automatic pick. Also for and then for Vittori, we had a recommendation from TMC at Smitty on Twitter. Robert Whittaker. It hasn't come up. I bring it up because I have not seen a lot of people mention that. But it's not like a obviously Whittaker would have want no part of that if it were up
Certainly.
To him. He's not interested in fighting Vittori. But again, we don't know how things are shaking out with the top of the middleweight title picture and what the middleweights are going to be fighting for. You know, 6 months from now could be an interim belt in line or something. So a Whittaker Vittori fight. It's possible. It's certainly not out of the conversation.
That fight works under one condition, if it's for an interim title.
Yeah.
And I know we hate interim titles and all that stuff, but we just don't know what's going to happen with Izzy, and Dana White is all in on Adesanya moving up 205 and fighting Ambohovich. We don't know when that fight's going to happen. And I don't have a problem slapping an interim title on a fight like that. Technically it's a number one contender fight.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put an interim title on the line and you throw a little extra money at these guys, it makes more sense. You know what I mean?
Most importantly, you do Whittaker right. You pay him what he deserves. He'll take that Vittori matchup. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not a fight night main event kind of a fight. This is not a co-main event for a pay-per-view kind of a fight. The only way this fight works is if it's headlines or co-headlines of pay-per-view and it's for a title, an interim title.
Fingers crossed, possibly in Australia or New Zealand, right? That's, you know, well, hopefully they could work that out. And again, we still think that'd be possible if they did a show like that, even during this pandemic times, if they did a show where the card was all fighters from New Zealand and from Australia. It actually, and I would say, again, don't worry about making it a 10-fight, 12-fight card. You go with like 8 fights, even if it falls down to 6 fights, the important thing would be getting Robert Whittaker back in front of a live crowd. That's really what matters. It would be a one fight card. And again, you have got, if you can get like a Brad Riddell in there and exciting guys like that, oh man, I mean, it's going to be a good card no matter what. So this, I mean, look, you're right. Interim title fight, Vittori out in Australia or out in New Zealand, man, that would be, you could sell me on that. You could sell me on that. So I'm kind of think it's cool that was thrown out there. At a Mighty Magic Martin, I don't like this, but he wants to see Topuria fight Grant Dawson.
I saw that suggestion, actually. I don't think Dawson's going to fight at 45 again anytime soon.
Oh, right. You've said this multiple times. You've stuck to this on the show multiple times.
Yeah, unless you give him like 15 weeks to prepare for a cut to 45, I just don't see a world where Dawson's a big dude. He's a huge 45er. Missed weight in his last fight and basically said, listen, I'm not gonna I'm just not going to do it, especially in this time. Like, I want to fight. Give me short notice fights, but I'm going to do it at 55. I'd like to see the fight at some point, but we're just not in a position in today's landscape with this pandemic to say, hey, Grant, here's a 4-month training camp to get ready for Ilya Topuria. I just don't see it happening. The matchup, though. I think that'd be a really good test for both guys.
If Dawson could comfortably make the weight, absolutely. But I'm fascinated to see how he looks at 155, because he's a killer at 145. Yeah. Dawson is like, we're talking like future top five guy, title contender at 145. 155, hopefully not much of a difference, but you never know. You never know that 10-pound difference was me. But yeah, always one to watch for sure, Dawson. I'll run quickly through on these Twitter DMs from Ryan Doherty. Mowgli versus Jacquezi. I like that one. I like that. I'd like to see... again, two kind of veteran guys, you know, do probably a good stand-up battle.
Versus who?
Mark Jacquezi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like that. Harry Lipsky wants to see Jamal. And by the way, these guys, of course, who send in, they have a long list of matchups. They match up everyone on the card. So, guys, sorry, I'm just picking out the best ones here. Jamal Hill, Paul Craig. We've matched up Craig a bunch of times, of course, coming off that big win now. I'm not against it.
I don't mind that one. I don't mind that one at all.
Big stylistic challenge for Hill, that's for sure. Aronsky, these are all regular guys. Thank you guys always, of course, for your contributions. Topuria, man, people really, they're kind of like you, throwing Topuria up there. Topuria, Herbert Burns.
I think Topuria's above him.
Wow, whoa!
I think Topuria's above him.
Dang.
I do. I would like to, honestly, here's the thing. If something happens, and I hate to say this, if something happens between the Cub Swanson, Daniel Pineda fight, I have no problem slapping Topuria right in there.
I agree, and I think if you're his management, that's the kind of fight you're eyeing, a fight that you might not originally get, but you're eyeing those veteran fights, and if they drop out, this is your chance to very, very quickly get a known name on there. So yeah, I like that. I agree. Marcus McGahee, I kind of missed to see you before the show. Collier versus Todd Duffy. That would be interesting. Todd Duffy has an impressive physique, I would say. Is that fair to say?
It's not bad. Not bad.
Okay. Jake Collier is a heavyweight, officially. Again, he is a guy who's essentially probably naturally a lightweight, who's, again, made the wise decision to toss weight cutting out the window and compete at in the 265-pound range weight class. So it would be a contrast when they step into the cage.
I'd watch that fight. That'd be bananas. And you know it's going to end in like some sort of crazy, chaotic, what the hell just happened kind of way.
So thank you, Marcus McGahee, for putting that image in our minds. And new contributor, Andrew Nally, at Big Nally 23 on Twitter. Thank you for sending in. Here's 2 months on. One, I think you mentioned this earlier, Mowgli and Kama Worthy, right?
Yep.
He's down with that, so you guys are on the same wavelength there, and I agree. Now that I'm you've mentioned it, he's mentioned that, I think it's a great matchup. And one he threw out there, I'm not sure why we didn't consider this one. Say and Yuan Cucalaba.
Huh.
Yeah.
God, that'd be wild.
I hadn't thought of it. It would be wild. Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe that. Yeah, there'd be some shenanigans. It'd be right up there with the whole Cucalaba Ankalaev feud. Something crazy would happen.
I don't think he'd be asking his coaches if he wants to submit Yuan Cucalaba, because I think those two are just going to stand in a phone booth and just throw hams at each other. I'm in for that one.
Going to emails, Tristan Gordet always sends an email. He really wants to slow roll Levitt. Mike Davis? I almost didn't even remember.
I thought of him.
Yeah.
But then you think about what Mike Davis did to poor Thomas Gifford, and you're just like,
oh gosh, you don't want to see.
I think it's unfortunate that Mike Davis hasn't fought since then.
Yeah.
Because he's had a lot of hype behind him, and that dude, I mean, he's got so much power. He's a legit prospect. I don't know why he hasn't fought since then. Yeah, that scares me.
Well, Tristan Gordet throwing it out there. He also likes Vittori Till, and he likes Brunson for Hermanson, which I think, again, I think all of that's reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah.
On Instagram, our two boys, I apologize. I got these guys mixed up last time. Jace Steiner and Jacob Best. It is Jacob Best who lives in Australia, and it is Jace Steiner who went to high school with Tristan Connolly. So, right. I apologize, guys. I got you guys mixed up. So I'll tell you this up quick. He likes Jamal for Jay Steiner, Jamal Hill versus Jimmy Crute, OSP versus Devin Clark, Levitt versus Jai Herbert, and I think you. Oh, this one I think you'll like. Jake Collier versus Paka Porter.
Paka and Dontell Mays is already the fight.
It is. Yeah.
I don't mind it though.
And Jace actually admitted he picked Dontell Mays last week. But Collier, those are the kind of fights I think we see for Collier and Parker Porter in the future, is them being matched up with each other for sure. A lot of Jake Collier talk this week. I'm surprised that we did not see this coming in, that there would be so much Jake Collier talk.
Levitt versus Jai Herbert, is that what it was?
Yeah.
I will say I will put the kibosh on that one, because Jai Herbert already has a fight booked. I'm not going to say it because I haven't. I don't have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed.
I like the T's though.
Jai is fighting in February as of right now.
Okay, so people stay tuned. Stay tuned to Mike Heck's Twitter feed and MMA Fighting. You could see that story broken on our very site. Jacob Best. He likes Topuria versus Alex Caceres. Obviously, sort of litmus test matchup. You know, that's kind of what Caceres is around for. Yeah, I agree. Not necessarily the sexiest matchup, but I don't mind it. Jamal Hill versus Johnny Walker. Sure.
That's fun.
Sure. Mowgli. I actually really like this one. This might be one of my favorite readers. I don't know if it's my favorite, but this is up there. Mowgli and Jim Miller.
Ooh.
Yeah. Veterans. You know you're getting a professional, exciting fight.
Yeah. Just, I don't mind it.
Jim Miller doesn't say no. Jim Miller doesn't say no. You throw him Mowgli's name.
Jim Miller will fight Jake Collier next week.
And this was kind of a wild one, too. Levitt and Lando Venata.
Who? That is mayhem.
I would say it couldn't happen, but again, Venata is in that range where he could be matched up with a veteran, he matched up with a newcomer. There's no surprises with him when a Venata fighter gets signed. You're kind of like, yeah, okay, that's who he's fighting next. There's no real predictions to be made. So, just a name I hadn't thought of in a while for some reason, but
that is a dating a girl in college kind of a fight, like freshman year, like the first week you're at school, where it sounds awesome, and there's a future there. But it's just not right now. Like there's so many other fish in the sea right now that you need to build that experience up before we get to something like that. And eventually I'd like to get to a world where Jordan Levitt and Lando Venata step into the octagon and make sweet magic together in there and just see and have all this chaos unfold in one magical moment. But it's just not the time.
You can't see because this is a podcast, but Mike had a look in his eyes. He had almost a Richard Gere acting moment. If you guys watch Richard Gere, where there was a memory like that wasn't a hypothetical. That was he drew upon something there for that story. And I hope you appreciate that. He made himself vulnerable for all of us. Right there. Oh, he's still looking back on it. So there was a memory there. Yes, I don't know if we have an official reader pick of the week this week, Mike. There was a lot of good ones. If one stood out to you that you remember, please mention. I know I threw a lot of names out there, but I'll just say you guys, again, are killing it with these reader suggestions. Please, please keep sending them in. Don't know if we have a best of this week, but there was many, many good ones, many worthy candidates. So thank you, readers. Great stuff.
Well done. And your role does not end here for our great listeners of the podcast. If you haven't thrown anything out there yet, you can right now. Hit us up on the Twitter. He is at Alexander K. Lee. I am at MikeHeck_JR. Join us next week for our second to last matchmaking edition of On to the Next One in 2020. Yes. And it'll be the last one we do matchmaking-wise for around a month or so. But we do have things planned for those weeks that there is no event. So do not worry about that. We have a lot of like fun and interesting things we're going to do. So the show will not stop. But next week, it is the aftermath of UFC 256. Flyweight title is on the line between Davis and Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno in the main event. Tony Ferguson is back against Charles Oliveira in the co-main event. The card is really, really good, AK. I think the excitement is starting to percolate a little bit more, but still, This is better than 255, in my opinion, is it not?
Yeah, which I still don't think was a bad card. Oh, on paper, I thought it was a great card. I don't know if it was the most exciting card, but I thought 255 was good. I saw some people saying like, oh, you know, I still think this is that anti-flyweight bias, which just drives me crazy. Yes, no, this card looks very good. Moicano Fizaya, goodness me, I'm looking at it right now. Dos Santos Filgan. So fingers crossed, we don't have what happened, you know, of course, what happened this past weekend with it's MMA, you never know. We could see two or three withdrawals. Hopefully not. Everyone's healthy and we get a full fat, what looks to be a 13 fights, 12 fights? 12 fights, 12 fight card.
Where are we at? 13. Because we lost Andrew Lee and Julian Robertson.
Did we add something? Did something get added? I don't know.
No. Okay. Just think about this for a second. As of right now, the second fight on the entire card is Dwight Grant versus Li Jinglang. That's crazy.
Yes. Okay. Hopefully nothing happens. Wow, Cubs, right. The Swanson Pineda fights next week. Mackenzie Dern's fighting. Okay.
It's really good. Like, Billy Q versus Gavin Tucker is on the prelims. You know that fight's going to be wild.
We're going to have some matchmaking to do next week.
Oh, I'm excited.
We're going to ask a lot. There's like enough names on here for like two matchmaking shows. If we're being honest, like, that's a lot of fighters who win or lose. People probably want to know what we think is next for them. So we'll see how we handle it.
Yes, I am very much looking forward to this card, and I'm very much looking forward to talking all about it. Maybe we'll do like a mega show since the last pay-per-view of the year and just match rate for everybody, but we'll see. But until then, we are out of time. For AK, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for listening. Remember, everybody, don't take this too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun, and we'll see you right back here next week on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.